Hello and welcome to Spoilers, this introduction to the play Jack Juggler. Following are some introductory notes and a plain text recording of the dialogue, plain text being the first cut edit of our full cast audio recording. It has all the text, but no SFX, no Foley, and it's the edit we use to hunt out textual errors, retakes or cuts. So it's not perfect, and we may change the take for the final thing. If you want to just enjoy our production, stop listening now and wait a week or two for the release. Or if you're listening in the future, look for the episodes future up the podcast list. Seriously, this is an exercise that some listeners won't enjoy. If it ain't for you, move on. If you're still listening, however, let's enter spoiler land.
Spoilers!
Definitely got to change that. So, Jack Juggler, we're winding down our progress through the play with the final unravelling of Jenkin Caraway before his mistress, Dame Coy, and his master, Bongrace. Lines 638 to 992 in every edition I have. Now, before this scene, these scenes, because this is really a short collection of scenes, and there's a nice logic to the action of the play, before this scenes, we started with a prologue, followed by two long speeches, and then a long two-hander by the two people who made the long speeches, Jack Juggler and Jenkin Caraway. It's a long, busy scene for two people who've been working pretty much non-stop for half an hour. But then they're going to get a very short break. Because now we have the entrance of two new characters. Over 40 minutes in, we get to meet Dame Coy and the maid, Alice Trippingo. Now, about 25 minutes ago, we heard a lot about these two characters from Jenkin Caraway. And it seems that his opinion is fairly close to that of the playwright. Dame Coy is cast as an angry, shrewish figure, albeit one with fairly good cause to be angry. And she's a little more complicated than at first glance. These characters aren't complete stereotypes.
I shall not sup this night, full well I see, for as yet nobody cometh for to fet me. But good enough, let me alone. I will be even with them, every one. I say nothing, but I think somewhat iwis. Some there be that shall hear of this.
Dame Coy may be cast from a stereotypical stock character type, but she is pretty fully rounded. She has a difficult husband, who clearly can't be trusted, a useless servant, and she has her own desires and wants, which are hinted at throughout. She may be the subject of more invective than her husband, but in person she is no more reasonable or unreasonable a figure than he. She has entered angry, and with cause. No one is called to fetch her to dinner, and she's hungry. She suspects her husband is off having fun with other women, and if she were sensible, she should revenge him by doing the same.
But if I were a wise woman, as I am a moam, I should make myself as good cheer at home. But if he have thus unkindly served me, I will not forget it this month's three.
She's very annoyed with Bongrace, and she's not going to forget it. And then her servant, Alice Trippingo, speaks.
If I may be so bold, by your mistress's license, as to speak and show my mind and sentence.
Now, Alice was also spoken about at length in Jenkin's first speech, at greater length than Dame Coy. We know that she hates Jenkin and will turn her mistress ire away from the master and towards him.
I think of this, you may the boy thank.
Ow.
For I know that he play of you many a light prank.
What?
And that would you say if you knew as much as we. That his daily conversation and behaviour, see?
He's always been useless, he always will be.
For if you command him to go and speak with someone, it is an hour ere he will be gone.
He's so easily distracted, all of which is true.
And will he run forth and play in the street and come again and say that he cannot with him meet?
Alice is dead right. Now that Alice has spoken her piece about Jenkin, her mistress speaks again, and Alice never says another word. After a massive build-up, Alice Trippingo says 10 lines. There are many possible reasons for this. One, Alice is supposed to double with one of the other characters, either Jack Juggler or Bond Grace. It's a quick change, but it is doable. Or, two, the author needed to write a part for a young boy actor who was a bit crap. Or, to be kind, not as good as the other players. There is some form in this sort of thing. John Hayward's Play of the Weather, written some 30 years previous, also available on this podcast, features a boy who is listed as the least that can play within the company. In modern performance, it's just a bit sigh-inducing that the parts for women are all smaller, one to the point of being just insulting. Alice is probably more of a physical part. Her name, Trip and Go, could refer to her being clumsy, either of which gives an actor something to do. Her clothing has been expanded upon at length in Jenkins' speech, so she should be presented as something quite ridiculous. So, adding insult to injury there. I've gone on at length about her and her 10 lines because, well, there's so little of her otherwise. Anyway, Dame Coy isn't immediately persuaded by Alice. It takes her a moment to be moved away from her anti-husband theme.
Nay, nay, it is his master's play. He serveth me so almost every third day, but I will be even with him as God give me joy.
Pause. Thinks.
And yet the fault may be in the boy. As ungracious a graft, so mowat I thrive as any goeth on God's ground alive.
Which is Caraway's cue to come back on. Now he's in such a fluster, he comes across as a bit mad.
Oh, my wit is braced in such a break that I cannot devise what way is best to take.
He's back at the front door and his mistress is there.
Cox body! Yonder she standeth at the door. Now it is worse than it was before. Oh, Christ, I could get again out of her sight. For I see by her look she is disposed to fight. By the Lord, she hath there an angry shrews. Look!
Lo, yonder cometh that unhappy ilk.
And she, reasonably enough, lays into him. His excuse is it wasn't his fault, for...
For the fault is neither in my master nor in me, nor you, but in another... Knave that was here even now, and his name was Jenkin Caraway.
What? I see my man is disposed to play. I ween he be drunken or mad, I make God avow.
Nay, I have been made sober and tame. I now, oh, I was never so handled before in all my life. I would every man in England had so beaten his wife. I have forgotten, with tousing by the hair, what I devised to say a little air.
Oddly enough, the excuse that Jenkin Caraway stopped Jenkin Caraway from doing his work doesn't go down well. And he's in such a state that he's forgotten the massively contrived excuse we heard at the beginning of the play.
Oh, I've forgotten what I had thought to have said, and I'm thereof full ill apaid.
Anyway, he tries to explain what happened to him, and she doesn't believe him.
Now walk, precious thief. Get thee out of my sight. And I charge thee come in my presence no more this night. Get thee hence. And wait on thy master at once.
He's left alone to fetch their master, and he exits, worrying about the number of beatings he's getting. It's a running gag to beat Caraway.
Marry, sir, this is handling for the nonce. I would I had been hanged before that I was lost. I was never this canvassed and tossed. That if my master on his part also handle me as my mistress and the other... I shall surely be killed between them three.
And then, largely to break up the scenes, Jack Juggler re-enters for the last time. He's there to create a time gap between Caraway's exit and his re-entrance in a moment. He says he's had a good laugh, but he's going to throw off his disguise and do no more harm.
But now I have partly revenged my quarrel, I will go do off this mine apparel. And now, let Caraway be Caraway again.
He is done. Bye, Jack. And just a note, when you listen on, the transitions between scenes in the plain text recording are a bit slow at present. Do hang on in there. And now the final confrontation. Caraway re-enters with his master, who's very unhappy with him.
Why then, Caraway, darest thou to presume to tell me that I know is no wise possible for to be? No.
Why are you lying to me, boy? Caraway has been and continues to try and convince people about Jack's impersonation of him. Now, we have just heard that Jack is gone, costume and all, so we know there will be no reveal and justice for Caraway. Caraway, the audience knows, if they've been paying attention, they know that Caraway is f***ed. So let us relax and enjoy his next beating. There are several points in the scene for such action. However, the scene builds towards Caraway really screwing up, because in telling all of his conversation with Jack, he says,
"And he told me all that I have done. Sith 5 o'clock this afternoon, he could tell when you were to supper set, when you sent me home, my mistress to fetch, and showed me all things that I did by the way."
Aha! What was that?
Oh, how I did at the buckler's play, and when I scattered a basket of apples from a stall and gathered them into my sleeve, oh, and how I played after that all.
Ooh, shit. Caraway has just said he was skiving, and now the beating really begins.
Thou shalt abide, therefore, so mote I go. Is that the guise of a trusty page? To play when he is sent on his master's message?
And his mistress comes in to do some backseat driving.
Lay on and spare not, for the love of Christ! Join his head to a post and favour your fist!
Go on, get in there! Oh, don't use your hands, use this stick!
Now for my sake, sweetheart, spare and favour your wound and lay him about the ribs with this wand.
No mercy that I ask of you both twain!
Poor Caraway is left bloody and bruised, completely distract, while his mistress and master make up.
I knew very well, sweetheart, and said right now that no fault thereof should be in you.
No, truly, good bedfellow. I were then much unkind if you at any time should be out of my mind.
Yes, this is pre-sex talk. This is verbal foreplay.
Surely I have of you a great treasure. For you do all things which may be to my pleasure.
They're not going in to eat food now. Oh no, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
I am sorry that your chance hath now been so ill. I would gladly been unsupped, so you had your fill.
Say no more.
Go we in, Pigsney, that you may sup.
And the phrase, Pigsney, it's all a little bit icky. Especially as they're positively getting off right over the beaten lump of Caraway. So they leave for a quick shag, and poor Caraway, presumably locked out of the house, does a final lament to the audience, asking them to look out for the other Caraway, whilst also hoping that they never meet him.
I pray God give you all good night and send you better hap and fortune than to loose yourself homeward, as I have done.
Caraway crawls away to die, and we're left with the epilogue, which is a very different proposition. If you have any thoughts about my brief breakdown, if you have any disagreements with an occasional leap, or if I'm in error, straightforward factual error, then let me know. I might re-edit based on your thoughts. It should be noted that I haven't gone into the borrowings and influences of this play from material by Plautus. That's not really my wheelhouse. I'm here to talk about how this play presents itself to me, my cast, and the potential audience. Maybe I'll find someone who'd like to talk about such things in a future episode. Maybe you are, in fact, that person. Give us a buzz. And in the final spoilers episode, we're going to cover the epilogue, which is a very odd fish indeed. That will be lines 993 to, well, the end of the play. It's an epilogue. But till then, here's the plain text of Jenkins' Defeat, performed by Lee MacDonald as Dame Coy, Nemini Stone as Alice Strip and Go, Hayden McCabe as Jack Juggler, Geir Madland as Master Bongrace, and Simon Nader as Jenkin Caraway. I've been your host, Robert Crichton.
I shall not sup this night, full well I see, for as yet nobody cometh for to fet me. But good enough, let me alone. I will be even with them every one. I say nothing, but I think somewhat iwis, some there be that shall hear of this. Of all unkind and churlish husbands, this is the cast, to let their wives sit at home and fast, while they be forth and make good cheer, pastime and sport, as now he doth there. But if I were a wise woman, as I am a mom, I should make myself as good cheer at home. But if he have thus unkindly served me, I will not forget it this month's three. And if I wish the fault were in him, I pray God I be dead, but he should have such a keery ere he went to bed as he never had before in all his life, nor any man else have had of his wife. I would rate him and shake him after such a sort as should be to him a corrosive full little to his comfort.
If I may be so bold, by your mistress's license, as to speak and show my mind and sentence, I think of this. You may the boy thank.
Oh.
For I know that he play of you many a light prank.
What?
And that would you say if you knew as much as we, that his daily conversation and behaviour see. For if you command him to go and speak with someone, it is an hour ere he will be gone.
No.
And will he run forth and play in the street and come again and say that he cannot with him meet?
Nay, nay, it is his master's play. He serveth me so almost every third day, but I will be even with him as God give me joy. And yet the fault may be in the boy, as ungracious a graft, so mowet I thrive as any goeth on God's ground alive.
Oh!
Ah!
Oh, my wit is breached in such a break that I cannot devise what way is best to take. I was almost as far as my master is, but then I began to remember this, and to cast the worstest one in fear, if he chanced to see me and keep me there, till he come himself and speak with my mistress, then am I like to be in shrewd distress. Yet were I better, thought I, to run home again and first speak with her, certain.
Tear away.
Cock's body! Yonder she standeth at the door. Now it is worse than it was before. What Christ I could get again out of her sight. For I see by her look she is disposed to fight. By the Lord, she hath there an angry shrews. Look!
Lo, yonder cometh that unhappy hook.
God save me. Mistress, do you know me well?
Come near hither unto me, and I shall thee tell why, thou naughty villain, is that thy guise to jest with thy mistress in such wise? Take that to begin with, and God before! When my master cometh home, thou shalt have more. For he told me, when he forth went, that thou shouldest come back again incontinent to bring me to supper where he now is, and thou hast played by the way, and they have done by this. But no force I shall, thou mayest trust me, teach all naughty knaves to beware by thee.
Forsooth, mistress, if ye knew as much as I, ye would not be with me half so angry, for the fault is neither in my master nor in me, nor you, but in another knave that was here even now, and his name was Jenkin Caraway.
What, I see my man is disposed to play. I ween he be drunken or mad, I make God avow.
Nay, I have been made sober and tame. I was never so handled before in all my life. I would every man in England had so beaten his wife.
I have forgotten, with tousing by the hair, what I devised to say a little air.
Have I lost my supper this night through thy negligence?
Nay, then were I a knave, mistress. Oh, saving reverence.
Why, I am sure that by this time it is done.
Yea, that it is more than an hour agone.
And was not thou sent to fetch me thither?
Yea, and had come right quickly hither. But that by the way I had a great fall.
Oh.
And my name body, shape, legs and all, and met with one that, for me, did it steal. But by God, he and I some blows to deal. I would he were now before your gate, for you would pummel him jollily about the pate.
Truly, this wage pasty is either drunken or mad.
Never man suffered so much wrong as I had. But, mistress, I should say a thing to you. Tarry, it will come to my remembrance. Even now, I must needs use a substantial premeditation, for the matter lieth greatly me upon. I beseech your mistresship of pardon and forgiveness, desiring you to impute it to my simple and rude dullness. Oh, I've forgotten what I had thought to have said, and I'm thereof full ill apaid. When I lost myself, I knew very well. I lost also that I should you tell.
Why, thou wretched villain, dost thou me scorn and mock to make me to these folks a laughing stock? Ere thou go out of my hands, thou shalt have something, and I will reckon better in the morning.
And if you beat me, mistress, advise you, for I am none of your servants now. The other I now is your page, and I am no longer in your bondage.
Now walk, precious thief. Get thee out of my sight. And I charge thee come in my presence no more this night. Get thee hence, and wait on thy master at once.
Marry, sir, this is handling for the nonce. I would I had been hanged before that I was lost. I was never this canvassed and tossed, that if my master on his part also handle me as my mistress and the other, I shall surely be killed between them three, and all the devils in hell shall not save me. But yet, if the other I might have with me part, all this would never grieve my heart.
How say you, masters? I pray you tell, have not I requited my merchant well? Have not I handled him after a good sort? Had it not been pity to have lost this sport, and on his master Bongrace, on his behalf, you shall see how he will handle the calf. If he thoroughly angered be, he will make him smart, so mote I thee. I would not, for the price of a new pair of shoes, that any part of this had been undone. But now I have partly revenged my quarrel, I will go do off this mine apparel. And now, let care away be care away again. I have done with that name now, certain. Except peradventure I shall take the selfsame weed some other time again for a like cause and need.
Why then, Caraway, darest thou to presume to tell me that I know is no wise possible for to be?
No, by my truth, master, I have told you no lie, and all these folks knoweth as well as I. I had no sooner knocked at the gate, but straight away he had me by the pate.
What?
Therefore, if you beat me till I fight and shit again, you shall not cause me for any pain. But I will affirm, as I said before, that when I came near another stood at the door.
Why, thou naughty villain, darest thou affirm to me that which was never seen, nor hereafter shall be, that one man may have two bodies and two faces, and that one man at one time may be in two places? Tell me, drankest thou anywhere, by the way?
I shrew me if I drank any more than twice today, till I met even now with that other I, and with him I supped and drank truly. But as for you, if you gave me drinking meat as often times as you do me beet, I were the best fed page in all this city. But as touching that, you have on me no pity. And not only I, but all that do you serve, for meat and drink may rather starve.
What, you saucy malapert knave, begin you with your master to prate and rave? Your tongue is liberal and all out of frame. I must needs conjure it and make it tame.
Where is that other caraway that thou said was here?
Now, by my Christendom, sir, I won't ne'er.
Why, canst thou find no man to mock but me?
I mock you not, master, so mote I thee. Every word was true that I you told.
Nay, I know toys and pranks of old. And now thou art not satisfied nor content, without regard of my biddings and commandment, to have played by the way as a lewd knave and negligent, when I thee on my message home sent, but also wouldest willingly me delude and mock, and make me to all wise men a laughing stock, showing me such things as in no wise be may, to the intent thy lewdness may turn to jest and play. Therefore, if thou speak any such thing to me again, I promise it shall be unto thy pain.
Lo, is not he in miserable case that serveth such a master in any place, that with force will compel him that thing to deny, that he knoweth true and hath seen with his eye?
Was it not, trowest thou, thine own shadow?
My shadow could never have beaten me so.
Why? By what reason possible may such a thing be?
Nay, I marvel and wonder at it more than ye. And at the first it did me cursely mave, nor I would mine own eyes in no wise believe until that other eye beat me so that he made me believe it, whether I would or no. And if he had yourself now within his reach, he would make you say so too, or else beshit your breech.
I durst a good meed and a wager lay that thou layest down and slept by the way, and dreamed all this that thou hast me told.
Nay, there you lie, master, if I might be so bold. But we rise so early that if I had done well, and a wise lad. Yet, master, I would you understood that I have always been trusty and good, and fly as fast as a bear in a cage, whensoever you send me on your message, in faith, as for this that I have told you, I saw and felt it as waking as I am now, for I had no sooner knocked at the gate, but the other eye, knave, had me by the pate, and I durst to you on a book swear that he had been watching for me there, long ere I came. Hidden in some privy place, even for the nonce to have me by the face.
Why then, thou spakest not with my wife?
No, that I did not, master, by my life, until that other eye was gone, and then my mistress sent me after anon to wait on you, home in the devil's name. I ween the devil never so beat his dame.
And where became that other caraway?
By mine honesty, sir, I cannot say, but I warrant he is now not far hence. He is here among this company for 40 pence.
Hence! At once seek and smell him out. I shall rap thee on thy lying knave's snout. I will not be deluded with such a glossing lie, nor give credence till I see it with my own eye.
Truly, good sir, by your mastership's favour, I cannot well find a knave by the savour. Many here smell strong, but none so rank as he. A stronger scented knave than he was cannot be. But, sir, if he be happily found anon, what amends shall I have for that you have me done?
If he may be found, I shall walk his coat.
Yea, for our lady's sake, sir. I beseech you, spare him not, for it is some false knave without a doubt. I had rather than 40 pence we could find him out, for if a man may believe a glass, even my very own self it was. And here he was, but even right now, and stepped away suddenly, I wot not how. Of such another thing I have neither heard nor seen by our blessed lady, Heaven Queen.
Plainly it was thy shadow that thou didst see, for in faith the other thing is not possible to be.
Yes, in good faith, sir, by your leave. I know it was I, by my apples in my sleeve. Yes. Oh, and speaketh as like me as ever you heard. Such hair, such a cap, such hose and coat, and in everything as just as fourpence to a groat. that if he were here, you should well see that you could not discern nor know him from me. For think you that I do not myself know? I am not so foolish a knave, I trow. Let who will look him by and by, and he will depose upon a book that he is I. And I dare well say you will say the same, for he called himself by my own name. And he told me all that I have done, sith 5 o'clock this afternoon. He could tell when you were to supper set, when you sent me home, my mistress to fetch, and showed me all things that I did by the way.
Aha! What was that?
Oh, how I did at the buckler's play, and when I scattered a basket of apples from a stall and gathered them into my sleeve, oh, and how I played after that all.
Thou shalt abide, therefore, so mote I go. Is that the guise of a trusty page? To play when he is sent on his master's message?
Lay on and spare not, for the love of Christ! Draw his head to a post and favour your fist! Now, for my sake, sweetheart, spare and favour your wound and lay him about the ribs with this wand.
No mercy that I ask of you both twain! Save my life and let me not be slain! I've had beating enough for one day. Let a mischief take the other me. Care away. That if ever he come to my hands again, he wish it shall be to his pain. But I marvel greatly by our Lord Jesus, how I escaped. I, me, beat me thus. And is not he, I, an unkind knave that will no more pity on myself have? Here may you see evidently I was, that in him me no drop of honesty is. Now a vengeance light on such a churlish knave, that no more love toward myself have.
I knew very well, sweetheart, and said right now that no fault thereof should be in you.
No, truly, good bedfellow. I were then much unkind if you at any time should be out of my mind.
Surely I have of you a great treasure, for you do all things which may be to my pleasure.
I am sorry that your chance have now been so ill. I would gladly been unsupped, so you had your fill. Go we in, Pigsney, that you may sup. You have cause now to thank this same hang-up, for had not he been, you had fared very well.
I bequeath him with a hot vengeance to the devil of hell, and heartily I beseech him that hanged on the rood, that he never eat or drink that may do him good, and that he die a shameful death, saving my charity. Come on, dear.
Come along, Pigsney.
I pray God send him such prosperity that hath caused me to have all this business. And yet, sirs, you see the charity of my mistress. She liveth after a wonderful charitable fashion. For I assure you, she is always in this passion. Had scarcely one day throughout the whole year she will wish any man better cheer. And sometime, if she will, angered be, I pray God, will she say, the house may sink under me. But, masters, if you happen to see that other eye, as that you shall, it is not very likely. Nor I will not desire you for him purposely to look for it is an incomparable, unhappy hook. And if it be I, you might happen to seek and not find me out in a whole week. For when I was once to run away, I used not to come again in less than a month or tway. How be it for all this, I think it be not I, for to show the matter, indeed, truly, I never used to run away in winter nor in veer, but always in such time and season of the year, when honey lieth in the hives of bees, and all manner fruit falleth from the trees, as apples, nuts,
pears and plums also, whereby a boy may live abroad a month or two. This cast do I use, I will not with you feign, therefore I wonder if he be, I certain. But, and if he be, and you meet me abroad by chance, send me home to my master with a vengeance, and show him, if he come not here tomorrow night, I will never receive him again, if I might. And in the meantime I will give him a groat that will well and thriftily walk his coat, for a more ungracious knave is not even now between this place and Calicow. Nor a more frantic mad knave in Bedlam, nor a more fool hence to Jerusalem, that if to come again, per case he shall refuse, I will continue as I am, and let him choose. And but he come the sooner, by Our Lady bright, he shall lie without the doors all night, for I will shut up the gate and get me to bed, for I promise you I have a very giddy head. I need no supper for this night. Nor would eat no meat, though I might. And for you also, master, I think it best you go to bed and take your rest. For who of you had been handled as I have been would not be long out of his bed, I ween. No more will I, but steal out of sight. I pray God give you all good night and send you better hap and fortune than to loose yourself homeward, as I have done.